This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Earlier today, Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf announced that he is supporting a three-point strategy to raise the wages of the lowest-paid workers in the county. This is the result of an effort launched by Cops Metro Alliance. Next, Cops Metro will look to the city, school districts, and the college district to do the same, raise the wages for the lowest-paid workers that they have on staff. Well, what do you think about raising the minimum wage and the living wage in San Antonio? What can be done about this? Do you support a raise of the national minimum wage? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and send us a tweet at @tprsource. Our guest this half hour, Father Mike DeGirolami. He is a parish priest at St. Timothy's Catholic Church. Mike Phillips, one of the leaders at Cops Metro Alliance. And Mike Villarreal, former District 123 Testrick House representative and a candidate for mayor of San Antonio. Welcome to The Source, all of you.
Good to be here.
So let me ask you, Father Mike, first off, what is the strategy that y'all are proposing?
Well, basically, we believe that anyone who is working should be paid a living wage. And we're going to the county and to the city to ask them to raise their lowest paid employees to where they can literally make a living without seeking public assistance. The way it is now, many of their workers must seek public assistance.
So what is that? What's the number?
Mainly food stamps.
Well, how much would you have to make per hour so they wouldn't have to go to food stamps?
$14.91,
so $15 an hour. Basically.
Yeah, basically $15 an hour, and they're out of eligibility for food stamps. That's 130% of poverty.
Okay, so Mike Villarreal, you've announced that you're running for mayor. If you win the office of mayor, is this something that you're going to push for?
Yes, it is, and I see it as a part of our agenda to make San Antonio strong. Our policy agenda, we call it SA Strong. It also means strengthening our city services, making them more professional, more high quality. And frankly, this is important. Individuals who work for the city should have pride in their work. They're a part of something bigger. They're engaged in public service. We want that reflected in their interactions with our residents. A standard of professionalism and excellence is what I hope to help nurture and develop in city government. And why is that important? Because how we interact with our city officials leaves an impression. When we think about, you know, sending our tax dollars to city government or deciding on voting for a bond issue, it's going to be that interaction with a city employee that we turn to think, is this worth it? Should I support it further? Am I getting my current dollars worth? And so I see really this initiative as part of a separate agenda that's about boosting the quality of customer service found in city government. How can we expect the type of pride that I speak of to be found in an employee when we're paying them a wage that's so low they have to apply for food stamps to feed their children? There was once a day when, you know, kids, when asked, well, where does your dad work? When they'd say, for city government, they said it with a sense of pride. We need to make sure that's present for all of our employees.
So today, Judge Nelson Wolf announced his support for this plan for Bexar County, but he has to develop a plan. He has to work within the county government to get there. Of course, his support is critical. How do you welcome that news, Father Mike?
We're very happy that Judge Wolf is on board, and it seems like the rest of the commissioner's court. It's our belief that these leaders need to also stand up and do the right thing for our community. I agree with Representative Villarreal. You know, this is the right thing to do. This brings the human dignity of workers up, and everybody who works should have that kind of dignity and should share in the prosperity and the fruits of their labor.
Let's go to the phone lines. Clayton has called in. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation. Welcome, Clayton. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I just have a comment that it never ceases to amaze me that the people who have money will oppose giving more money to those who have none, and they'll rationalize that somehow that's going to destroy the economy, and that the only people who actually know what to do with money are the rich, and it needs to be invested. If you follow their line of logic and rationalization, the minimum wage should never have been raised ever. But that's just my opinion, and I'll listen to the reaction off the air.
Thank you for your comments, Clayton. Many people say that there should be no minimum wage, that we should just let the market decide what people get paid. But Mike Phillips over at COPS Metro Alliance, raising the minimum wage, do you see this as an overall economic strategy that would benefit people who don't even are dependent upon these the government entities?
When we did a living wage strategy in the 90s, we helped raise the wages of 40,000 folks, and that had a big, huge impact on the economy. When you have that great a number of folks getting a higher wage, it's bound to have spillover effects. And for us, it's a moral issue, too. I'm a Unitarian. Father's a Catholic priest, of course, but our faith traditions teach us that we can't be complicit in holding people in poverty. And when our tax dollars aren't paying good wages, we're complicit in holding them in poverty.
So, Mike Varial, how can local governments afford to do this? I mean, will this require a tax increase?
No, it shouldn't, actually. It's a pretty modest cost. There aren't many city employees who are earning this very low level, below the $14.91. When COPS Metro approached our city manager to get a initial cost estimate, she gave a ballpark figure of around $7 million at full implementation. The proposal that COPS Metro is offering is a very reasonable one. It doesn't go to the highest level, $14.91, all at once. It happens over the course of 3 years. Ultimately, once you're at the end of that 3 years, the cost figure relative to the size of our budget, it's less than 1%. This is something we can afford to do. It's the right thing to do. It will pay dividends in improving a sense of pride in our city workers, and we'll see it in better customer service. And ultimately, what these families do is they put that money back into the economy, and it recirculates.
Does this send a message to other employers that this is the right thing to do, and maybe they'll catch up on that, Father Mike?
Well, I definitely agree that this is a moral issue. When people are working so very hard, people in my parish in the middle of the West Side who work very hard every day, and they're coming to our church for all kind of needs, material needs, not only their spiritual needs. A raise of any kind to working poor and the middle class is something that I think our communities really, really need.
We're talking about efforts to raise the living wage in San Antonio for employees of our governmental entities. COPS Metro Alliance is leading the way. They're with me in the studio. If you got a question or a comment about raising the minimum wage in San Antonio and across the nation, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the minimum wage, living wage in San Antonio. With me to talk about that, Father Mike from St. Timothy's Catholic Church, Mike Phillips, one of the leaders of COPS Metro Alliance, and Mike Villarreal, former District 123 Texas House Representative and a candidate for mayor of San Antonio. So, Father Mike, these jobs that people have for the county and the city and school districts, what kind of jobs are these that get paid so low?
Well, many of them are the custodians, the ones who do the work that many others don't want to do, housekeeping, et cetera. And they work very hard for our community, and it just doesn't seem that that amount of work is repaid for what they give to our community. It just doesn't make sense to me why we cannot raise the lowest level of our lowest paid workers up so that they can make a decent living.
But if they're making, say, $11 an hour, $11.45, gets bumped up to $15 an hour. So now they're on food stamps, but with this new bump, they would be off food stamps. So is that a net gain for them, Mike Varial?
it is a net gain. It will allow them not to be dependent on government assistance. It'll allow them to support their family by the work that they do for the public. It will also really send a message that we care about our city employees. We want to cultivate a culture of excellence, and so we're going to treat our employees well. We're not going to pay them such a low level that they have to go out and apply for food stamps.
Let's go to the phone lines. Jeremiah has called in. Jeremiah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, well, I've managed several small businesses in my very young career, and what I've noticed is over time, it's very difficult to increase the wages for your employees while managing to keep a profit margin where you're very, very close to breaking even some of the time. And raising a minimum wage across the board is going to have that negative impact so that more employees get less hours, or you have to raise the price of your product and receive less income. So it has a negative detriment in that regard.
Well, if everyone gets more pay, then they'll have more money to go into your shop and spend it on.
You would hope so, but typically, right away, you're going to have to pay those wages. And in the meantime, you're going to have to maintain, you know, your operating capital and all that. And you have to maintain a certain labor cost at all times. So until those effects kind of reverberate throughout the economy, a lot of small businesses are going to suffer.
Okay, Jeremiah, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. So there it has the view of a small business owner, Mike Phillips. And what would you say to him?
Well, I think there's another part of our strategy is to work with the employees, the employers that the city hires, the contract workers. A lot of jobs the city has in maintenance and other things are contracted out, and those are at minimum wage levels. And we would like to work with the city and the county to make sure that those small businesses that are contractors for the city have some guidelines on wages. We would like to see them be moved up to at least what the city is currently paying, 100% of poverty.
So the city will hire someone to, say, like mow the lawns at a park or something like that. It's not – and they subcontract for that. But we don't know if those employees are actually complying with this type of activity. Is that right, Representative Virial?
You know, it's important to just make clear to the public that's listening. This is not an initiative about requiring small businesses or any private employers who are doing business in the market, independent of city government, to raise their wages. That's not what this is about. This is about city employees or employees that are being contracted for their services to perform city work. And so that the first caller who's concerned, who manages a small business, is trying to make a profit, that this is not about your operation. This is about our city employees and having city employees earn a wage that doesn't require them to be on food stamps in order to lift the excellence professionalism of our city public service. For the folks who do contract work for the city, what Compson Metro is asking for is not that they raise their wages to $14.91, but to the current minimum standard, which is, what is that, Mike Phillips?
$11.47.
Mm-hmm. And that's a smart thing, because you don't want to raise it for those folks that work directly for the city, only then to cut those jobs and contract them out at a much lower rate that's a poverty rate.
And that's true. And Representative Villarreal knows that in Texas, under Texas law, cities can't pass a living wage or a minimum wage themselves. It could only be done on the state level.
Like Seattle has, or San Francisco.
Right, right.
They have much higher minimum wages there.
Yeah.
But we can't do that here.
No.
That's an important, important piece. In the state of Texas, the city government cannot increase the minimum wage rate on its own. It has to – that's a conversation that takes place at the national level and at the state level.
Or it's a conversation that should take place, but sometimes it doesn't. Father Mike, I mean, should be more conversation about that, trying to do this on a national basis?
I think the conversation should happen around every dinner table in this city. it's disgraceful that 1 in 5 people in San Antonio live below the poverty line. 1 in 3 children below the age of 5 live below the poverty line. People don't think about this, that there are many working poor in this city, and we're just ignoring that fact, and I think our blindness is really hurting our community.
And the optimal word there is working poor. I mean, these are people who, they are working, not just one job, multiple jobs, trying to keep up. But because the salaries are so low that they have a tough time of it. Mike Phillips, is that a good read? Is that the kind of story that you hear at Cops Metro?
Yes, it is. And you know, people having to move in with relatives, people having to go on food stamps or go to food pantries just to make ends meet, skipping medicines to pay rent, things like that. We hear those stories all the time.
Let's go back to the phone lines, and the number, if you want to join our conversation, is 210-614-8980. Casey has called in. Casey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just want to say I'm very proud to be part of San Antonio now that they're actually looking to help increase their workers' wage. That is awesome. Congratulations on that. I hope it goes through. I really would like to see that happen. My second off, I would like to say how I used to be a manager for McDonald's, and during lunch rush, sometimes you're looking at $8,000 to $10,000. You tell me why these bigger corporations cannot pay their employees something of at least $10 an hour. That's $400 a week. Whenever they are pulling in sometimes $50,000 a day at these restaurants, it makes no sense. And what they do is they put the weight on our local economy, and they put the weight on our national economy, and it kills us by having for the taxpayers to end up putting everything on food stamps, which is there if you need it, obviously. But you also need to – the employers need to take care of their employees so that they can have that pride for their job as well.
All right, Casey, thank you for your comments. Thank you for calling in. And you want to react to that, Representative Uriel?
You know, long-term surest strategy for raising the wage structure in San Antonio, which is hugely important to the city, very important. But the way forward really is through education. You know, Project Quest is a great example.
That's a Cops Metro helping. Program?
That's a program that was initiated by Cops Metro. It's now governed by a board that includes big employers, industry groups, still members from Cops Metro, but it really represents the larger community who wants to do something about increasing, strengthening our wage structure, lifting it up. And it's all about training people, helping them get connected to training programs that are relevant, that are in demand, and ultimately lead to a better job, a good paying job, actually not just a job, but a career. They'll get higher wages and their skills and further education is encouraged and supported by their employers.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. James has called in. Hey, James, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for taking my call. So I was a government employee, and my wife and I struggled to get by. We didn't have a very high income, but something that we did have was benefits for retirement, for health, for dental, for medical. And so we felt very secure, even though we didn't have any extra money, and we received state benefits. And so we worked really hard to further our education, and now I'm in the private sector, and now I spend a lot of money for these benefits, and I feel like we don't have any more discretionary money. And so I think that something that's being missed here is the benefits that these government employees get that they don't have to necessarily pay as much for as they would in the private sector.
All right, James, thanks for the call. Thanks for that good point. So Mike Phillips, do the employees at the city or the county, maybe they're being paid $11.45 an hour, but they've got all these benefits.
We just heard a story the other day of one of the workers for the county saying that, you know, you gave us a raise for $2, but you raised our health insurance $4. So, you know, that they're really being nickel and dimed on their health care, and they're required to do much more of their pensions now than in the past. I mean, most city employees are not getting rich.
Okay, and another caller really quick as we run out of time. But Jeremy, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Howdy. Yeah, you know, I'm an estimator, and I make about $15 an hour. It just kind of makes me wonder, if you guys have janitorial staff raised up to $15 an hour, what happens to folks like me? Yeah, I think I have a bit more skill in my profession than, you know, not to be degrading, but you know, what that might take.
All right, Jeremy, thank you for the call. And Father Mike, you want to react to that?
Well, it's always hard to pit one worker against another. But I think the bottom line is that the people on the lower edge of the workforce, their level is just not acceptable. Hopefully everyone will get an increase. That's the way it should be. Employers should not be holding back. I think they need to share in the prosperity that they are gaining.
Mike Verreal, is there a course being set to try and increase wages across the city?
Absolutely. And it's really through a movement of improving the quality of our educational opportunities found in San Antonio. And there's 1,000 different things that are happening, really great initiatives to, for example, help connect middle school students to big employers, introducing them to the jobs that are in highest demand, creating new certifications so that we can grow our own talent pipeline that feeds Toyota so that one day they can add a third line. There are a whole lot of things that are happening, mostly through the strategy of education and improving educational opportunities for our folks. That is hugely important. Ultimately, that is the answer for helping the entire community. This issue for me is really about our city employees who serve us.
Mike, we're running out of time.
Cultivate a culture.
Mike Verreal, former House representative, candidate for mayor, also a Father Mike from St. Timothy's, and Mike Phillips, one of the leaders of COPS Metro. This is The Source on KSTX.